Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the assurance that we are yours, and we can choose to make that decision to walk away from you, but no one can ever take us away from you. Lord, I pray that as I bring forth your message, that it is truly yours and not mine. I pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know today is Mother's Day, and I wish everyone a very blessed day, but you will learn I never preach on the subject of a secular holiday. We are the church, and we are still in the midst of the Easter season. And so the message that will be spoken from the Word of God. I think many people think that the Monday after Easter Sunday is the end of Easter, but that's not the case. Easter continues for a season. There is a saying, an old saying, that the only thing constant is change. We live in a world of constant change. We live in a world where we are told that if a student gets a computer in ninth grade, by the time they graduate, that computer is obsolete. We live in a time where work environments are very different. There was a time when you would go to work for a company and you could be assured that that is where you would also end your career. Not so much in the world we live in today. As we hear of people receiving news that they go to work and that day will be their last day, or that in 2 weeks there will no longer be employment for them, or maybe it'll extend through the end of the year. I have a nephew who moved from Georgia to Colorado for a job about a year and a half ago, and he was told last week that that division of that company is going to close. Words that no one likes to hear. And yet, it's the world we live in today. There was a time when we would send our kids to school and you knew that they were safe, that maybe the most that would happen to them is they would get a scrape out on the playground. Those days are gone. Not only because we hear of an active shooter who goes into a school, but those days are gone because today, in the world we live in, kids are mean to other kids, and I can attest to that. Gabriel, this morning in Sunday school, was being a bully to the other kids in Sunday school. We hear of teachers who are bullies to their students. We hear of students who are bullies to their teachers. The days of going out to recess and shooting marbles and jumping rope are gone. There was a time when people would visit with one another, when they would sit down and go to people's homes and have conversations, where you would walk over to your neighbors and maybe have a cup of coffee or an iced tea and sit on the porch and talk to one another face to face. We live in a world today where many people don't know their neighbor. And we live in a world where many families don't sit and communicate anymore. That often, even a husband and a wife, communication is mostly done through text messaging. There was a time when the average church attendance in the United States was about 78%. That was in the 1950s. Today, the average church attendance is at 22%. That's a decrease of church attendance of 56% in a 64 to 65 year period. Let's bridge that gap a little. In 2014, the average percentage of worship attendance of those living in the United States was 47%. And so in 5 years, that percentage has dropped 25%. I know that last week I talked about the fact that more than 75% of the people who live in Tyrone are unchurched. According to the demographics of Tyrone, there are 5,477 people in Tyrone. So 22% of that would be 1,205 people attending churches, leaving 4,272 people living in Tyrone who are unchurched. Now, you may not know all of those people, but I am sure you know some of those people. Why is it that we are not reaching out to those people? Is it because we aren't really sure of what it is that we need to do to reach them? And if that is the case, why are we not looking at what it is that we need to do? Who it is that are in those demographics of that 4,272 people? Are they mostly above the age of 65? Are they medium age with children in the house? Are they young families? See, we need to know all of that information in order to know how it is that we can reach out to them. But we also need to be in conversation with them. We need to begin to build relationships. We need to, again, come to know who our neighbor is, have conversations with them. And I'm not saying that your first conversation should be, "Hi, I'm Tina, glad to meet you. I go to Wesley Church, and I think you should come there too." It takes time to build relationships. Relationships aren't built on one visit. And so we need to take time with other people. We need to learn who they are. But we also need to share our stories of how it is that Jesus has touched us. Our lives. There are many who do not know Jesus. Remember the words that the Pharisees said to Jesus in our gospel lesson? "Jesus, if you're the Messiah, would you just tell us plainly?" Jesus says, "I have told you, and you do not believe." That's how it is in our world today. We often tell people, and yet they do not believe. But there are also many who have never heard. There are many who don't know the love of Jesus Christ because we have failed to share that love with them. John tells us in our scripture this morning that our victory is in Christ Jesus. And all who come to him shall triumph. Christ went to that cross to take the sins of the world with him. And when we come to that realization and we give our lives to Jesus, when we turn our sins over to him, we become victorious. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and he is risen for you and for me. He has risen for your next door neighbor whose name you may not know. He has risen for the person who lives on the other side of the world. He has risen for the non-abuser as well as those who are an addict. He has risen for the mentally sane as well as the mentally ill. He has risen for the millionaire as well as risen for the poorest of the poor. See, the lamb that was slain for all. And that victory is available to all who believe. God has demonstrated who is worthy of worship and what power is available to those who believe, the strongest power in the world, the power of God's Holy Spirit, which is available to you and to me. See, it's not the world leaders, it's not violence, it's not brutality, it's not what surrounds us competing for our Sunday morning worship. It's God who gives us that power. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's who should be at the center of our lives, and that is who we should be worshiping. And when we do, we are given that victory, and we are able to live our lives in love, in a self-giving love. However, we live in a world where Satan holds on to what power he has, and we know that he has been given power here on earth. And we know that no matter how much faith we have in our God, how much faith we have in Jesus Christ, no matter how much we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are going to have temptations. We are going to have trials and tribulations. Jesus had them when he walked here on earth. So the testing of God's people is timeless, even though there has been change. The name may no longer be emperor. Now that name may be world leader, government official, business owner, supervisor, manager, maybe even pastor, who uses their influence in a way that leads you away from Christ. But remember the words that John gave us, that we cannot be snatched out of God's hands. So we have to be strong and stand firm in our faith. Otherwise, we can be led astray and we can turn away from the Lord. The name may no longer be fruit. We often associate apple with that fruit. But instead, it may be processed foods that cause us to sin by eating the things that are harmful to our bodies that then do not allow our bodies to be the best that they can be in service to the Lord. The name may no longer be Pharisee or Sadducee, but instead it may be a legalist or a ritualist who says, I want, or I think, or I remember what organized religion once was. Last night, as those who were here at the mother-daughter banquet knows, I was at Christ for Theirs, and they had a quartet there. And one of the gentlemen in the quartet said, I'm an EUV, just like you. And I said to him, there are no EUBs. We're United Methodists. We've been United Methodists for 51 years. What is it that we're holding on to that is keeping us from moving into the vision that God has for us? You know, it didn't take the Israelites, it wouldn't have taken the Israelites 40 years to get to the promised land, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. How long is it going to take us to move out of our former heritage to be the people that God is calling us to be as United Methodists in the world today? It may no longer be the value of salt. Did you know salt was a great commodity in Jesus' day? Now it may be, how big of a stock portfolio do I have? Or how big of a bank account do I have? See, the temptations haven't really changed. They may have changed by name, but the temptations are still the same today as they were in Jesus' day. It's just how each generation has viewed them. So how is it that you and I can see the victory that has already been given to us so that we can take the good news out into this world? So that we can be like those who have walked before us, who have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become conquerors. We become victors. We are called to become a witness. We stake our very lives in the victory of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we live out that obedience and love with the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe right now in your life, you're not feeling much like a conqueror. Maybe you're not feeling much like a victor. Maybe you're not even feeling much like a witness, because right now you are living a life that seems to be very stressed and stretched. Maybe you're feeling burdened. Maybe you're feeling sadness because of an illness that has overtaken you, or because you have lost someone that you love. Maybe you are feeling alone because right now you're not feeling that love. You're not feeling that compassion. You don't feel that hope that can be given to you through Jesus Christ. You don't feel as if God is with you because you can't feel His presence. But I assure you, God is with you. We are told in the 23rd Psalm, as we heard in our responsive reading this morning, He leads us beside the still waters, but He is also with us in that deep, dark valley. My friends, we live in a world where we are always going to be in the midst of stress. There are always going to be temptations. There will be trials and tribulations. Every day is going to have a challenge. But we can't let that challenge get us down, because Christ is raising us up for a new day, a new beginning. So may we feel that victory that has been given to each of us, and not let that challenge get us down. May we stand on our feet, because the victory has already been won for us. And may we go out to begin to build relationships with some of those 4,272 people who have not yet discovered that victory for themselves. Amen.